Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, on page 1558 in your pew rack Bibles. Jesus restores a demon-possessed man. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on a nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. The word of the Lord. You're not you when you're hungry. Those fateful words spoken as the car lurched up and forward, jumping over a pothole. "I'm tired of this road, this drive, this scenery, this smell. I could even faint if I tried hard enough." The couple had been on a road for hours in an unfamiliar region with no restaurant in sight. "Well, what about the snacks?" Pausing moments, each looking at the other, hopefully, woefully. "I thought you packed them." "Me? I thought you packed them." As gradually the unyielding despair began settling in that nobody indeed had packed any snacks. Suddenly what had been a respite of happy conversation, fun radio sing-alongs, and even a bit of juicy gossip, succumbed to the power phenomena known as acronymous polyphagia, otherwise known as being hangry. As the onset of anger brought about by hunger settled in, the distortion in personality continued as each remained powerless in their condition. What was once a car now became a tomb on wheels. Neither could agree on the radio station, what temperature for the car, whether or not to stop or just settle for a fast entirely. And yet the truth finally slipped out. As one turns towards the other, "It's like I don't even know you anymore. You've turned into somebody else completely." As one of them let out a deep sigh, possessed in the depths of a rapidly falling blood sugar, forehead in hand, elbow on the center console. And yet just over the horizon, salvation arrives, golden arches glowing. "Over a billion served," read the sign. Without hesitation, swerving rapidly over at least two lanes, exiting off the on-ramp, screech, erk, pulling into their destination, slamming on the brakes, whipping off the ignition, gathering what little strength they had left, stepping out of this tomb on wheels and in through the front doors of Hamburger Heaven, eating and then apologizing to one another for what had taken over them. Though in our text today, we encounter the story of a man in whom much more had been overtaken. As Jesus, having just calmed a storm on the Sea of Galilee, chastising the apostles for their lack of faith and not recognizing his power, arrives at the eastern side of the lake, boat ashore, waves lapping upon the beach. These Hebrew men now in unclean Gentile territory. And without warning, an unclean man from the unclean tombs, who breathed in unclean air, scurries down through the rocks, cuts and bleeding, wounds open and festering, baking in the warm sunlight. How deep his cuts must have been, only the townspeople knew, of course. "Dead man walking," they'd call out, hearing the echoes of his chilling cries. His raised and purple scars lay testament on his body to their failed authority, their failed ability to subdue a man whom nobody no longer recognized. And yet here, having fallen down in front of Jesus, it is Jesus who is recognized. "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." The demons had spoken, their words seething and poison slithering out, floating in the stagnant air of death. Naked and shivering, the man pulsates in the dirt as the evil spirits wrestle in his body. For Jesus, in his authority, had addressed them directly, staring deeply into the eyes of one in whom none had the courage to look at, confronting directly the one whom nobody was strong enough to subdue. And with a sudden pulse, the man's chest rises, mouth open wide as if speaking for a multitude. "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them from the area. And it is at this moment that we see the crux of our story. A nameless man assaulted by evil and subdued by others. A tomb dweller kneeling before Jesus in a posture of submission, and whom only the demons seem to recognize as the Son of God. As life and sanity teeter in the balance in the shadow of just one man. For the battle is not only against flesh and blood, not just against one or even two demons, as we read in other exorcism stories, but against thousands. For the term legion itself would have reminded the ancient readers of our text of the relationship that the Jews had with those thousands of Roman soldiers who occupied their homeland. And the outcome of this battle, it seemed, lay in the hands of some unknown itinerant prophet from the small backwater town of Nazareth, who often had no place to lay his head. The odds didn't look great, and yet if anyone knows of loathsome odds, it is a man by the name of Nick Yaris, sitting in his cell staring out a tiny window, having just entered his 21st year on death row. Nick, as he claimed, was wrongly accused of murder and kidnapping. After speeding one night in a stolen blue sedan and getting arrested, Nick found himself at the wrong place at the wrong time, with accusations against him that would eventually bring a trial, eventually bringing him to court, where from the jury's perspective, his record of drug abuse and theft and petty crime would speak for him. As Nick sat there wearing his orange jumpsuit, feet in irons, shackled to the floor, the jury stood saying those final words. "We, the jury, find the defendant Nick Yaris guilty," as the blood drained from his face. But the story, you see, goes much deeper. As a boy, Nick was violently sexually assaulted behind his childhood home, and unable to find safety in the broken family that he came from, Nick grew, laboring under the weight of shame, of fear, and of doubt, using drugs and alcohol to cope with despair and hatred, bound by the chains of evil and of chemical dependency. This self-medicating led to petty crime, led to car theft, that now led to death row. Witnessing the depravity of prison life, from stabbings, murder, extortion, sexual assault, the tombs of despair that Nick had come from as a boy now appeared to be his final resting place. It had seemed that the dehumanizing effects of evil had bound Nick, and all the efforts of friends, family, and even the justice system were powerless. And here, 20 years later, he sits in an unclean cell, in an unclean prison, breathing the unclean air of death. Birthdays gone, funerals pass by, alone except for the demons that crowd his cell, ushering him along until execution day. And yet the demons in our text today kneel prostrate before Jesus, as the God of creation tells a different story. Not one of inevitable despair, but of him who governs all things because he created them. The Lord of heaven and earth, in whom all things were created, whether visible or invisible. This Lord finds the demons begging amongst his feet. "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them," they scream. Thousands of voices hissing and seething in a villainous cacophony. And as the text tells us in verse 13, Jesus gave them permission. As the impure spirits come out, convulsing of the man, swirling about and entering into the pigs. The swine squealing in terror, rushing down the hillside, the same hillside the man had rushed down to greet Jesus, off the cliff and splashing into the waters. The same waters that just verses before, Jesus had also just conquered. As those tending the pigs who had surely lost their livelihood speed off to bring others back, so they too may witness the carnage. When they return, faces huffing and sweating, they are greeted not by the man of the tombs, not by familiar fear, but by a man who bore scars, but was now healed. A man who had been restored by Jesus and had a story to tell. And as verse 15 says, they were afraid. How much easier it was for them to live in familiar misery and comfortable brokenness than encounter the radical transforming power of Jesus Christ. A Jesus who didn't ask for permission, but for names. A Jesus who doesn't negotiate with evil, but God who is so good that he cannot be reduced to safe. With only the restored man left standing on the edge of the shore, as Jesus picks up his robe and steps back into the boat. Yet similar to how the demons had asked, Jesus did not permit the man to leave the region either, but instead commissioned him to go and tell how he had received mercy. And as verse 20 tells us, the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis. His echoes heard all throughout the city, night and day, crying out just how much the Lord had done for him. A cry that is not lost on Jesus, from his creation that he is still ruling over. As Nick Yaris steps out the front gates of a Pennsylvania state penitentiary, the cool, brisk air felt for the first time in decades, flooding over his cleanly shaven face as tears streamed down the cheeks of a now free man, exonerated from 22 years on death row, freed in the wake of new DNA technology. As Nick steps out from the tombs of a former life, losing the chains from a prison that now stand literally behind him. His restoration to humanity a witness among us, as Nick now spends most of his mornings waking to the rays that fall through his window, eating a warm breakfast with his wife and with his daughter, before getting dressed in a trim business suit and heading off to each and every speaking engagement possible to spread the news of his release and all that God has done for him. Because the truth is that, though evil still exists in our world today, fallen creatures wreaking havoc in a fallen creation, God is still and always will be the sovereign creator of all things. He is the source which all things, both seen and unseen, proceed and are bound by. God, as creator, ensures the providence of all that is upheld by him and his glory which they reveal, that all is ruled by him. And still in this knowledge, we may hear today ask, what have you to do with me, Jesus? As Article 12 of the Belgic Confession responds for us, that God, who created all things out of nothing, by his Son the Word, who also created the angels as ministering spirits, as messengers of God and servants of the elect, still governs creation according to his eternal providence and infinite power. Us knowing that even in the face of evil in this world that so dreadfully overtakes us, in broken relationships and in persistent sin, in unyielding despair and suffocating bondage, and in the evil of such spirits who wreak havoc in humanity, in their legions of chaos, we take solace that in the face of such evil, that these spirits are fully bound by their Creator as he so chooses to permit them. As daily they await their torments, having been condemned by their own wickedness. We see this condemnation of evil and submission of that which God created most fully in the triumph of Jesus Christ on the cross. having been crucified and risen again on the third day. Because Jesus doesn't ask for permission to conquer sin and death, but takes up his life on his own authority, that all who have faith in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So that we as his followers may live lives thankful that we are not the spiritual seed of a fearful man, but of one whom even the demons lie begging at his feet. Are we then not to live most bravely in full confidence and assurance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? For we were not created to surrender our humanity in fear, but in gratitude of what the Lord has done and is still doing for us, to go and live obedient lives, witnessing to our neighbors, our city, and our nation, testimonies of his mercy. As God, having delivered us from our tombs, and joins us with the angels, as together we cry aloud from the hills, Hosanna, glory to the Lord in the highest, to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Lord of hosts, you are the sole sovereign ruler over all that you have created, even over death itself. As we suffer at the hands of evil, confessing that at times we are the perpetrators and enablers of such evil, we pray that our eyes be opened and our hearts be sanctified by your Spirit, that we may witness to your sovereign ruling, and that such knowledge and activity may inevitably cause us to fall at your feet in worship, that we too may have the power to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, whether in word or in deed, to all whom we encounter every day, that your creation may know you as Creator. By the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.